am Alexander B. Stevens. This is the brand new up and coming podcast entitled, What Is He Thinking? The sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes politically incorrect, but always sincere and truthful podcast for the benefit of women from the perspective of men. You've got questions? I've got answers. What's going on? This is Alexander B. Stevens back in your eardrums one more time with episode 16 of the podcast, part 3 of the marriage series, and part 2 of the perspective of a missus interview with Miss Karen Franklin. In this second part of the interview, we're going to focus more on marriage. But first, let's hear a word from our headline sponsor.
Eno's Corner, it's not just a website. It's not just a podcast. It's a brand and a movement. Go to ninoscorner.com, ninoscorner.com, to get the latest products from Nino. Go to the book section to find Nino's 3 number one best-selling books, Can You Love Me?, A Memoir, A Tribute, Battle's Blueprint, 5 Self-Battles to Defeat for Success, and My Wonderful Life, An Adoption Story. If you need merchandise, we had that for you too. Our custom Do You Signature Series shirts and other apparel were sure to please. Again, visit www.ninoscorner.com, ninoscorner.com, for more information.
Without any further ado, let's go. All right, let's move beyond the dating stage into marriage, because that's why you're here in the first place. Just in general, you're speaking for womankind now, not necessarily for yourself. Mm-hmm. But how long do you think it takes for a woman to determine if somebody they're dating is marriage material or not?
I feel like day one, women automatically think they classify every man as marriage material. Oh, he does this. You know, girl, he opened my door. Oh, marriage material right there.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like the men, you start chipping away at that marriage material. So if you're a man, a heterosexual man, slowly, you know, you're already marriage material at some point, and then you just start chipping away from your marriage material after that. I feel like if she takes you seriously and she's actively dating you, you're already marriage material to her. She's just waiting on you to show her why you're not.
That's interesting, because men are definitely the opposite.
Like, when it comes to that. I dated her for 3 years and you wasted time.
It's like, you know, you're fornication material, because that's why I asked you out. Now it's gonna take me 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 12 months to figure out if you're marriage material, but I already know that I want to take you to the telly, as the kids of 20 years ago used to say. I guess I was a kid 20 years ago. So as I used to, no, I'm just saying.
Barely, you know.
Anyway, let's move on. How long did you date your husband before you guys got engaged?
2 years. And that was the point for me. First date, one of my first questions. How many years do you think it would take? I mean, how long do you think it would take for you to realize that you've arrived at a point where you want to marry someone? His answer, 2 years. I'm going to hold you to it. If we're at 2 years, I'm holding you to that. I felt that was super important. Now, if he would have said 6 months, I'd be like, okay, well, we can still wait a little bit longer. But I think 2 years was kind of my point as well. I truly believe, you know, 2 years, why not? And he asked me to marry him we actually had moved in together. The 2 year mark was approaching and nothing had happened. I remember talking to his cousin. She was like, well, I know you said 2 years, and what will happen if, you know, he doesn't propose? I said, well, I'm not re-signing the lease. And she was like, it's just like that. I'll be heartbroken. But again, I'm standing firm. 2 years, if you haven't proposed yet, then I'm not the one that you want to marry. I'm not wasting any more of my good time. I was willing to sacrifice that, because the 2 years was the point for me.
I hear you on that. I know my self rule that I've had basically, I don't know, since I was in college was no less than 2 years, no more than 5.
And of course, as you get older, closer to 40, then that five needs to come down a little bit. But, you know, I don't expect somebody to date somebody, meet somebody at age 20 and marry them at 22. So that's why I got that. I had that five in there back when I was in college. But but yeah, I think I'm suspicious of any marriage where they date less than 2 years. But I think 2-3 years is definitely a good range there. So was there any one thing that happened or any tipping point or any date or something that your current husband did that at that point you're like, okay, if this guy asks me right now, I'll say yes. He's the guy for me. You remember anything like that?
The main thing, remember just a specific date or anything. It was just everything was right. It was as if he had read my personal letter to God, like my Sierra prayer. Like it was as if he had read that. At that point, the main thing was he was willing to wait. And coming from nobody's going to do that, nobody gonna wait on you. You've had boyfriends before, you know, they didn't wait on you. But I had made up my mind, I had made a decision. And the fact that he was willing to wait was important to me.
You mean wait and, while you were getting dressed and y'all were about to go out? Is that what you mean by wait?
Yeah, that too. But no, he was willing to wait for sex. And not just, you know, not, oh, we're going to wait 6 months. We're going to wait. No, he was willing to wait until marriage. That was super important. And of course, you know, that's like 2 years, like 1.5 years. Like, when are we going to do this?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that was important.
I hear you on that. Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes a special guy to do that because I know the average guy, well, the average guy isn't really interested in waiting, but even the above average guy, okay, I'll wait if you're a virgin or I'll wait if you're like 23 and you've only been with one person, but if I know that, you know what I'm saying, you had a hot girl decade and now you're going to ask me to wait, you're not going to do that to me is what the above average guy is going to say. So he must be above the above average guy.
Now, the thing is, the real truth is, did we make it? Okay. I think we did a really good job at making it without making it. But there was definitely remorse and regret. Like, it was like, okay, that can't happen again. That was important too, because it was just like, we said that this wasn't going to happen and we had to get right back into it. We slipped. And even while we were living together, we were good.
Okay, I respect that. Respect that for sure. They say that, you know, little girls from a young age think about marriage, think about how it's going to be, dream about it, dream about the wedding and all that good stuff. As you get dating age and as you actually get into dating in your 20s, you have your thoughts, you have what you think it might be, how you think it's going to be, how you wish it's going to be and all that type of stuff. But now you've been in it for 5 years. So can you tell me what preconceived notions, what misconceptions did you have in your mind before you got engaged that you realize now are untrue after you've been in a marriage?
The biggest one, the only one, was men take care of all of the bills. This is 2021. It is difficult unless you're some type of millionaire. Even six-figure people can find it difficult to provide for an entire home, especially, you know, you have two cars, two nice cars. You have all these wants and these needs. You want to go on vacation 2 times a year. And I think I wouldn't want him to pay all of the bills because, like, literally, he would be struggling out here. Like, I mean, you know, we try to live in that sense that if anything ever happened, the household could be covered by one salary. But I truly believe that it takes two to make it work. And so the preconceived notion that I had was that a man automatically should pay every bill and a woman should be kept. Of course, that kind of died down just because I understand the economy and I understand people's salaries and how much a house costs these days versus 10 years ago, how much a house cost. But I think I went in with a pretty realistic view on marriage. I felt like I understood that it would be hills and valleys. There would be times where you're in love and sometimes where you're out of love, where you don't have the butterflies and the feelings. But if you just stay on the ride, the butterflies will come back. I would honestly say year four was difficult for us. Can't even just pinpoint why it was difficult for us, but I just felt like, where are the butterflies? But then those butterflies creep right back on in. So I think if you have an understanding that you're not going to be happy all the time, people think that just because you get married, it's going to be the automatic ding, you are happy. No, you are not. There are times where you would literally look at him and say, why are you breathing so loud? And so if you have an understanding of that, that'll definitely help you get through. I compare it to, I'm a Christian. It's not about happy, it's about joy. And that joy is on the inner. You have to bring out the joy inside of your own marriage, especially when you're at the point where you're not happy. Think about things that you can do to kind of bring your happy back, hills and valleys.
Yeah. To piggyback on that last point, I think a lot of people expect somebody else to make them happy or things of that nature. And I don't know if Will and Jada are the best marriage to quote anything from these days, but I feel like one of them, I think maybe Will Smith said 10 years ago, you're responsible for your own happiness within the marriage. Each person's responsible for their own happiness. You can't put all that pressure on the other person to keep you happy 24/7, 365.
I'm not mad at Will and Jada. Honestly, feel like they've arrived at a point, like they said, it's a partnership. We're not going anywhere. And of course, the stepping out, that's something that's, you know, totally different. But that's their place. And that's their understanding of their marriage. Although, you know, I may not agree with that portion of it. They seem to have arrived at a point where they understand each other. But they do need to work on making each other happy in certain areas. Polo August.
I hear you on that. And to rewind a little bit, when you're talking about your misconception was you thought husband just pays all the bills and all wives are kept. I feel like, well, first of all, the man paying all of the bills maybe was exaggerated throughout history as far as that being the actual case. A lot of women back in the day, they might have been homemakers or whatnot, but they still had a little part-time and helped out with a little bit of something. But beyond that, and not to change the subject of this interview or anything like that, but I kind of feel like the feminist movement and women wanting their own autonomy and their own ability to pursue careers and things of that nature was partially co-opted by companies. So they were kind of like, all right, if we support women really wanting to be career women, then we have twice as many people to do these same jobs, which means we don't have to pay anybody as much because we've got twice the potential workforce to choose from. It's almost caused women to have to work because they wanted to work, if that makes any sense. If women didn't work big time jobs that made big time money and only men could do that for whatever social construct reason you want to put on that, then like I said, that would limit the job pool. That means there's less people that can do the job. That means you got to pay more money. So that means there'd be less need for a second person to work. Does that make any sense?
It makes sense. It definitely makes sense. Women also probably had to work because, you know, the men were leaving and going off with other lives and they needed to take care of business.
Yeah, and also, once upon a time, there was a lot of wars. There was like a war every 15 years. So life goes on. If your man's gone 3 out of every 15 years because we have war exactly. After war after war, then somebody has to do something to keep the lights on. So I hear you on that for sure. We talked about your preconceived notions before marriage that you realized were untrue. What do you think the top things a woman should look for in a man in order to know that this is the type of guy, this is a marriage material guy?
Does he love his mother at a distance, okay? The relationship with his mother. Is he her son or is he her husband? That's important.
No mama's boys, okay.
Listen, because anybody who's gonna marry my little brother has their work cut out for them, okay? Oh, bless him, okay? Is he able to love you in your love language? A lot of people tend to show love in their own love language. Love languages are important. You can sit up here and buy gifts for somebody who doesn't care about gifts. They just want you to spend time with them. So are you willing and open to truly explore what makes them happy or what makes them feel loved? And are you willing to do that? Do you have an understanding of personality style? In education, in most businesses, corporate America as well, they make you take those personality tests. You want to know, are you blue? Are you gold? Are you green? Are you an eagle? Are you a dove? What type of person are you? And I feel like you need to know the personality style. That's important to understand and to know how to argue with that person, or to understand how to take the things that they say. Because like my husband, he is totally opposite from me. I'm the talkative one. He's a one sentence person. If I didn't understand that about him, I would take that personally. And sometimes I do take that personally. Like, why are you not talking to me? You're not, you know, I get in that mode. And so because he understands my personality, he has these days where he makes sure that he engages me. Hey, how was your day? And he might ask that one question. I might talk for 5 minutes and he tunes me out, which is perfectly fine. But he'll come with a follow-up question. And that's important to me.
What'd you say?
Or I'll come.
I was tuning you out. Sorry. What'd you say? just playing with you. Just playing with your talkative one.
Or I'll come home and be like, you know, he's working from home now. So I'm all excited, ready to come in and talk. And he's just like, would you just shut up? So I have to understand that sometimes he just doesn't want to be bothered. And I give him that time. Do you have an understanding of your personality style? Do you understand each other's love language? What's important to you? Somebody giving? Are they fun? Are they fun in the way that you want to have fun? Because you don't want to do your hobbies alone. Of course, you have your own individual hobbies, but you want to be able to do stuff together. And most importantly, and I know you're going to hate this one, will he let you eat off his plate?
Yeah. I'm definitely not down with that. Once we get done with this interview, I got a story for you about eating off plate. I didn't realize how far back that stretched, but I pretty much always had an issue with that. So sounds like some good advice you're giving out here. So you mentioned earlier having a younger brother who's unmarried.
Oh, he's married to my mom.
Oh, okay. I was like, what happened there? All right, I hear you on that. You know, I'm sure y'all might talk about relationships every now and then. You might try to give him advice or things of that nature. What do you think are the top things that a man looks for in a woman that makes a woman the type of woman he will want to marry?
Does he find her attractive? I think that's important to a man. Face value. I feel like she needs to be attractive to him. Is she fine? Or is she into keeping up with where she is when you start dating? You know, you don't want a woman to, you know, let go of herself. Hey, that's not what you were when we started dating.
That's not what I signed up for. Yeah.
That's not what I signed up for. My dad was like that. Like, it's not what I signed up for. Like, hey, get it together. Most importantly, does she compliment the things that he lacks? And we talked about gender roles earlier. Does she cook? To some men, that's not important because
they cook.
So does she compliment? Can she wash dishes? Does she keep certain things clean? In my household, I feel like we compliment. My husband he's the neat freak in certain areas, and I'm messy. And we compliment each other in that area, or he doesn't let it bother him as much. So I think the complimenting, when you take a woman out and you take her to a company function, does she step in and compliment you well? Does she help answer those questions? It's like you're a politician. Is she Michelle? Is she Michelle? Does she compliment you? Is she your promoter? Does she make you, does she stroke your ego every once in a while? I need that ego stroke. And that's super important. Some women find it hard being a man's cheerleader. And I feel like men need a cheerleader. They may not say it, but they need a cheerleader. I remember being at a marriage, my women's group at church, and they were talking about marriage. And this was before I was married. They were passing the microphone to divorced women. And she said, tell me some of the things that you regret. You know, the women were like, I'm glad we're divorced. But she said, one woman said, I wish I would have been a better cheerleader for him. And that stuck with me. Like, I'm not stroking a man's ego. You have to.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there. In reference to the complimenting, I feel like I said that in one of my previous podcasts, so we're definitely looking for that. I know this guy isn't a relationship guy, but I think I was listening to a Dave Ramsey talk to a caller once, and I forgot what they were talking about, but he said, basically, if we both do the same things, then one of us is unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? You need people to cover all the bases. If we're both strong in the same areas and weak in the same areas, then what's the point?
I totally agree.
We both love to cook and no one likes to clean, then our house is trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't going to work. The roaches are going to be fat. But our house is going to be whack. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's some pretty good stuff right there. Stroking ego. Is that Beyonce's ego or are we PG-13 ego or both? I think both.
All the egos.
All the egos.
All of the egos.
All of the above. All right. What type of marriage advice would you give to a friend that's about to get married or a relative that's about to get married to help them out in this new stage in life?
The marriage is hard. I've been seeing this lately. Marriage is hard, but so is divorce. Choose your hard. What hard are you going to go through? Definitely don't expect someone to make you happy. You have to make yourself happy. Be your husband's cheerleader. That's definitely important. And learn each other's love languages. Get into premarital counseling. Have you done your counseling so that you know how to fight? Because when it gets tough, like I know in my household, I know when I want to curse, I've gone too far. Let me back up, because that's not our relationship. Let me back up. Learn how to argue. I used to walk away, and he wasn't a walker away, but I was walking away because I wanted to make sure I got my thoughts right, so that I didn't say the wrong thing, and I just need to process. And so I think that was helpful, because if, you know, you running away, no, I'm just trying to process, and we can talk about it calmly when I get back. So I think learning how to talk and argue with each other is super important. Defining the level of disrespect. What is each other's level of disrespect is super important.
Yeah, there's a saying that when you teach people how to treat you, if you teach people how to treat you, then you know you got to let people know where the line is. You have to stay committed to that line.
And just know that marriage is not what's on TV every day. It's boring. And be okay with boring. You're not going to go out every day and eat and dance and do all the stuff that you did when you were dating. Sometimes you're literally at home on the couch looking at each other. You got to be okay with that. You got to be okay with that.
I forget what the exact quote is, but I feel like Chris Rock in one of his stand-ups in the 90s talking about dating and being in a marriage.
He says something like, you can either be married and bored or single and lonely. But then he basically talks about how
a healthy relationship is boring. And an exciting relationship is usually toxic, was basically his point.
Which was reminds me of his movie, I Think I Love My Wife. Like, he was with old girl and going through all kinds of crazy stuff because she was exciting, but she was also very toxic. Boy, go home and sit at home and be bored with your wife. My marriage is different because we don't have kids. We don't plan to have any children. So, you know, some people get married and they have the kids to add a different flavor of life. But literally, it's us looking at each other. And it's going to be us looking at each other for years to come. So we've already hit our empty nest stage. But finding the joy in the boring, but also making sure that you bring back that spark every once in a while. Let me light some candles because it's getting boring around here.
I hear you on that. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time out to talk to me and my audience this evening. I guess we need to close things pretty soon here. I don't want your husband giving me a call saying that.
I just realized it was 10:30. Now he's asleep. Okay. Look,
saying I kept you up all night long or anything like that.
We go to bed around these parts. So he's in the bed. Family Feud is on the TV. That is our life. Okay.
The survey says that's a decent life.
You know, we're half sleeping. We're like, oh no, they should have said. And I love it. You know, that's the monotony, but that's us. This is us. This is who we are. And I like speaking on it. I think everybody deserves a piece of that.
Living in your truth sounds beautiful. So are there any other marriage related topics, issues, advice, tips, points that you wanted to make toward one of my female listeners to help them out, either finding a husband or being in a marriage?
Well, being in a marriage, there's going to be a point in your marriage where the veil is going to be removed. It's the point after your newlywed stage. And when I say the veil gets removed, I feel like men have this ideal. And when they marry a woman, they're excited about her because she matches the ideal. But there's some point where that veil is taken off and he realizes that she's actually human. And I think it happens for women too. So when you get married, be ready for the veil to come off and just be ready to the changing point. I feel like that's going to be the point to determine if you're gonna make it or you're not. It can be a sad period, but again, if you get through that portion of it, I feel like you'll be just fine. As far as dating, I said it already. Just make sure that you know what you want and you don't compromise what you want. If it's not anything that's like, oh, he has to be super attractive with an 8-pack, let that go. He can have a 2-pack.
Yeah, Tupac, one of my favorite rappers. I mean, Tupac. No, sorry, never mind. Sorry, I got confused there. My fault. All right, I hear you on that. I guess it's time for us to bring this interview to its close. You have any closing thoughts, any closing comments for the good people out there?
I'm just excited. Hopefully I've given some great advice. Someone can take something from what I've said, somebody might be rolling their eyes. It just wasn't for you. I really enjoyed myself this evening. I didn't even realize we've been talking this long. Again, hopefully I've given some pretty good advice and a good perspective on marriage from my standpoint of 5 years.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your evening to give us a piece of your mind.
And this anytime.
Don't say anytime, because this might be a reoccurring thing.
Anytime. Put me on there with the men. We can do a whole panel. Let's go.
Sounds good. All right, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that interview with my friend, Miss Karen F. Franklin. And before we bring this podcast to a close, I just wanted to recap and highlight some of the responses that she had to the topics that I presented to her. Question number one was regarding how long in general, on average, does it take a woman to view a man as marriage material? And she basically said, if she takes the guy seriously when she's dating him, then she already views him as marriage material early on. And is kind of dating him to see if anything comes up for him to lose that title, for him to lose that position in her brain. So like I said in the two podcast episodes prior to the beginning of the marriage series, men in general are looking for reasons that things could potentially work out, while women are looking for red flag or reasons that it won't work out. Next question. How long did she date before she got married? And she answered 2 years. She stated that early on, she made it a point to ask the question, how long do you think it would take before you can make that decision? He said 2 years. She was intent on making him stick to his word. 2 years was approximately the same time frame that she had in mind, so it worked out. So a good takeaway from that question and answer is, if you're a woman that's serious about marriage, then you need to bring it up early on in the dating process. Ask the man his thoughts on it, his mindset, his timeline, his time frame. And then if it's reasonable and close to what you would accept, then make him stick to that. My advice on a time frame that as far as how long you should date before you marry, I wouldn't advise anybody marry if they've been dating someone less than 2 years. But I also would not advise anyone to ever date anybody longer than 5 years. So if you're in your early 20s, you can be closer to that 4 to 5 year range. If you're in your mid to late 30s or 40s, you need to be working on a 2 year time frame. Next question was there a tipping point or some specific event that let her know that the guy she was dating was the man that she should marry? And she basically said, no, it wasn't one thing. It just was the culmination of multiple things that let her know things were right. But if she had to talk about one thing, it's the fact that he was willing to commit to dating her without it being about sex. He wanted to learn her. She wanted to learn him. They wanted to learn each other without the distraction of fornication. And they tried their best to fulfill that imperative. So my advice to you is you need to make sure your relationship is not based on the physical. If you remove XXX activity from your relationship, what would it be? How strong would it be? How fun would it be? How well do you know each other? How fulfilling would it be? If you don't have affirmative answers to those questions, then you know whoever you're with is not the person that you should marry. Next question I asked her was, were there any misconceptions that she had going into marriage? And her response basically was, she thought in marriage, the woman or the wife was always kept and the man paid all the bills. Then once she entered to a marriage and really started analyzing bills and how expensive it was to live the type of lifestyle that she and many women want to live, she realized that most men on most salaries can't do it by themselves anymore in the time and day and age that we live in currently. She said she already knew that marriage was a roller coaster and you weren't going to be happy all the time, so she didn't go into marriage with those misconceptions, but I feel like she feels that many women do. Next topic that we went over was, what are the top things a woman should look for in a man to know that he's marriage material? She said, look for a man that loves his mom but isn't a mother's boy. Look for a man that loves you in your love language. look for a man that's understanding of personality styles. You need to know each other's personality styles so you know how to handle disputes and conflicts. And look for a man that you can have some fun with and you share some hobbies together. Of course, not all your hobbies, because there needs to be some individuality, but you definitely want to do some things together and have some common ground so you can enjoy each other's company. Next topic we tackled was I flipped it and tried to see if she knew what men look for in a woman for us to view them as marriage material. She said attraction, a woman that keeps up with herself, a woman that compliments him in what he lacks, a woman that represents him well in public and can compliment him, and a woman that strokes his ego and can be his support and cheerleader. These might be the best answers of the interview, and this is definitely a reason why she's married and many women are not. It's a reason why she's happy in her marriage and her husband feels like he hit the gold mine and other men can't say the same. Because she understands the value of physical attraction and keeping it up. But then it's also about being a compliment, not a competitor. Sounds like one of my previous podcasts. It's about filling in the gaps where he needs help. It's about representing him well in public. It's about being supportive and stroking his ego. Next question was, what marital advice would she give a female friend of hers? She said that marriage is hard, but so is divorce, so you gotta choose your hard. Her advice is, it's your own job to make yourself happy, not your husband's. She advised women to be their husband's cheerleader and support. She advised, like we spoke of earlier, that you're supposed to learn each other's love languages and operate according to the other person's love language. Do premarital counseling so you know how to argue whenever an argument comes up. And you need to understand that marriage, at least a good marriage, is boring. And you need to be okay with being content and bored sometimes. Because it's not always going to be firecrackers. It's not always going to be vacations and nights on the town and dancing until the sun comes up. The majority of the time, it's going to be boring. I asked her if she had any additional tips she would want to give. And she just mentioned how the veil gets removed early on in marriage. And you really get to see the other person 100% of who they are and that they're human and not this idealized being that you might have thought of them as when you were dating. And her last dating tip was basically just to stick to your guns, know what you want, and don't compromise. But at the same time, your requirements don't need to be petty, shallow, and unimportant. So make sure your requirements are things that actually matter, and then stick to those things. So that's just a recap of our interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. Next month, I'm going to bring in the fellas, and we're going to tackle some of these same topics and same issues, and you get to listen to what they have to say and learn what they are thinking. Until next time, have a great week. All right, that should just about wrap things up. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to what I have to say. And if you found any part of this episode helpful, thought-provoking, or intriguing, please share it with a friend. The more people I can help, the better I feel within. If you have any questions, any suggestions for new topics for me to discuss in the future, or if you need any clarification on anything I have spoken on, please just shoot me an email at whatishethinking@gmail.com. whatishethinking@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message via my Anchor website. All you need to do is go to anchor.fm/whatishethinking/message. anchor.fm/whatishethinking/message. Go there, leave me a couple words, and if it's constructive, I will definitely get back to you or keep your thoughts in mind when I record future podcasts. And never forget, I'm not here to tickle your ear. My only goal is to tell you what you need to know. I'm not here to offend. I just want to see you win with men. Well, until we meet again.